These strong men is one we're going to deal with first. And one I'm going to talk about today is, because it goes with it, it's the strong man of unbelief. Amen. Unbelief is the biggie. It is the biggie. And with it's doubt. They're brothers, doubt and unbelief. And we're going to talk about that. And the other one, I don't know if I'll get to talk about it, but it's deception. They all three work together. And the reason I'm doing this, because you are the army. You are the ones. You know, he talked about me being out front, but you're right behind. We're going to have a lot of people in here that's, we're going to be dealing with this, and we are going to start coming against them today. We're not going to wait till Sunday night. We're going to start getting in tune to resist the devil. We're going to draw near to God, and we're going to resist the devil, and he's going to what?
Flee.
Flee. So that's why we're doing this. I want to get you programmed on what spirits we're really looking at to deal with, because it's in all of our lives. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 3. I'm just going to hit this a little bit. Verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, or our confession, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as Moses was faithful in all his house. And this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he hath built a house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that builds all things is God. Give me an amen. And Moses was faithful in his own house as a servant for a testimony to those things which were spoken after. But Christ as the Son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. What's the devil after? Your confidence. Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And he that will come and will not tarry, but the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those that draw back unto perdition, but those that believe to the saving of the soul. We are believers. We are believers and receivers. And that's what we're standing. If you hold that beginning confidence. What was your beginning confidence? Jesus paid it all.
That's right.
And then immediately the Galatians chapter 3 comes in. Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? That's religion. That's what a lot of you was put back under after you got saved. That's returning to bondage.
That's right.
And so that's that. He's subtle trying to get you back under or get you listening to the way you used to be. I mean, we are in a spiritual battle, kids.
Amen.
And it's not flesh and blood we're dealing with, but it is principalities and powers. Okay, hold fast. Wherefore, the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years. And I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their hearts. Where did they err? In their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they will not enter into my rest. Okay? Take heed, brethren. Who's he talking to here? The brethren. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another, how often? Daily. While it's called to lay, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness. See, there's your deceit that we're working with. The deceitfulness of sin. See, take heed, brethren. See, when we said a while ago, we're singing that song, you know, take my heart, you know. Your old heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. There's nothing good in that old heart. When you begin to depart from the Lord with that evil heart of unbelief that we give into, that's not who we are, that's who we were. God has given you a new heart, a new spirit. And that's a heart of love. It's the heart of the Father. So when you start feeling yourself drawing away from him, it's because that old evil heart of unbelief is working in your life. Doubt and unbelief. See, that's the stronghold that you're battling every day of your life. It's trying to take away your faith. Fight the good fight of what? Faith. You're beginning confidence, steadfast till the what? Very end. So it is. You draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Resist the devil. Amen? And he'll flee from you. And it talks about Satan as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may. He has to have permission. Right. Yours. Devour. Whom? Resist what? Steadfast in the faith. The word resist means to stand. All the armor that he gives you in Ephesians 4 or 6 or wherever it's at to put on is a defensive thing. Only one is offensive. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's your offensive one. The rest of it, I mean, just hold your ground. You can take a nap holding your ground. You can get in your recliner. You can do whatever you want to because the work's finished.
That's right.
The work is finished. You just hold the ground that's given to you. And he's always out there trying to take the ground back. And so that's where you stand. And that's where I want us to start, not next Sunday night, but now.
Yes.
Resisting every one of them foul spirits that try to walk through these doors of unbelief and doubt. And that old familiar spirit. It's spirits you're battling with. And you know, 99% of the church out there, of churches, I'm saying, not God's church, fights deliverance. Don't even believe in it.
Come on.
And your battle is against demonic spirits. Every day of your life, you're not dealing with anything but spirits trying to pull you back into who you were instead of who you are.
Right.
Amen? And the Holy Ghost doing all he can to keep you on the right track.
Right.
You don't have to put up with it. All right, where we at? Okay. Exhort one, so we are made partakers of Christ. There's that word. If you do what? Hold the beginning confidence steadfast. There's nothing left to do but hold it, saints. Just hold it. Okay. Then he goes on down here, and I want to say something about that. Well, let me go on. Says, what is it today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Don't let that old evil heart of unbelief come in. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Well, with not them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but those that did what? Believe not. They that believe not didn't enter in. So we see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. Then it goes on chapter 4. Therefore, having a promise, lest any of us fear, lest any of us says, let us therefore fear lest the promise be left us to enter into that rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. What? Seem. Why does it say seem? Because the rest is yours. It's paid for. You may not feel it's yours, but you know, going back to that, your adversary as a devil walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. And he says this, but after you've suffered a while, God will make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. That means there will be times when you're going through things. But I want to tell you something. When you're going through something and you're not feeling the very best you could feel, what does feelings have to do with anything? You go on through standing on the Word. After a while, he will make you. And he says all the brethren in the world are going through the very same things. But after you suffered for a while, he'll make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. Don't worry about the warfare, because you've already won. Just go through it. And then he talks about seem to come short. It says, for the gospel preached to them was not profited, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed, say, have believed. That's past tense. Do enter into that rest. As I've sworn in my wrath, even though they entered into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from his works, and this place again, if they shall enter my rest. Seeing therefore it remains that some, say me, will enter into that rest, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. And he limited a certain day in David, saying, after so long a time, today, if you'll hear his voice, do not allow that old hardened heart to pull you back. Don't do it. So if Jesus or Joshua had given them rest, then would they have not afterwards spoken of another day? There remains a rest to the people of God. For he that's entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his.
Glory.
You got to cease from your works if you want to enter into his rest. Now, Eric's not here, so I'm going to say something about King James, because he likes me to talk about this. For he says, let us therefore labor to enter into that rest. That word labor makes it sound like you got to work really hard. I worked really hard for a lot of years laboring to rest. Is anybody out there? Paul, do you know what I'm talking about? Laboring to rest. And one day I looked up the Greek word. It's not labor. It's quickly. Just quickly get in it. Just enter in. Just cease and get in it. Immediately, if not sooner. Quickly enter in that rest. Why? Lest any of you be what? Hardened through the deceitfulness of sins. Okay. Did you get all that?
Amen.
Mm. Okay. You see that? It says you got to enter into his rest. You got to cease from your own works. And then, lest you fall after the same example of disobedience or unbelief. Okay? All right. So that's what we're looking at, unbelief. Hebrew, in Matthew chapter 12, says every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or household divided against itself shall not stand. When Jesus was casting out devils, and they accused Jesus of casting out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils, that's when Jesus said, every kingdom divided against itself shall not stand. And he says what? No man can bind the strong man's house except he first bind the strong man, then he can spoil his house. Okay? So that's what we're dealing with. The strong man is unbelief. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of faith and believing. The kingdom of darkness is a kingdom of unbelief and doubt. Unbelief and doubt. That's the only way he works. Deceit, unbelief, and doubt. If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, Jesus said in verse 28, then has the kingdom of God come to you. How do you know the kingdom come? Because you have the power of the Holy Ghost to cast out devils. Ooh, don't shut me down. All right. The kingdom of God is not in word but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20. 29. First bind the strong man, then spoil his house. Colossians 2:15 says, Jesus having spoiled principalities and powers. What did he do? Spoiled them. That's doubt and unbelief. He took that thing on and spoiled it and made a show of it, openly triumphing over them in it. Amen? And Jesus is the head of what? All principalities and powers. How many principalities and powers?
All.
He's the head over how many?
All.
So what do you have to fear? Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now you go therefore, and I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. What does nothing mean?
Nothing.
What does all mean?
All
right, so you have to lock in on that. When we're dealing with people with problems and deliverance going on around here, I want everybody here to be focused in like a bulldog. You may have to get up and go help somebody next to you. And when you do, you go in authority knowing you have authority. I think of Charlotte a lot. When we was over in Uganda, and that first night when I come against the stronghold of witchcraft over all of Africa, I wasn't being little-minded. I took on the whole authorities over Africa. Witchcraft, mind you.
It's about time someone.
Yes, and all hell broke loose, didn't it, Charlotte? And all these people come, I just can't describe what happened. And Charlotte walked up to this one, and this demon said to her, you don't know who you are. She said, I know exactly who I am, and you're coming out. That's the way I want you Sunday night.
That's right.
She knew exactly what happened to it. It went out, didn't it, Charlotte? See,
you can't be nice.
No, you can't be nice, because we've been, you know, given authority over all of them. And he said, he sat down expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. So he's looking to the church to do this. She had me listen to a tape last night of this lady that had MS or something from a child. And she was about to die, and she just told God, she said, I want to live. And God gave her a vision of this pastor that coming in with a pinstripe suit on and prayed for her to be healed. The angel showed her this. So she got the yellow pages at the nursing home and had them read all of them out. When she hit the church, she said, that must be it. So
the
she,
name of the church?
The name of the church. Open church. And she called the pastor and she said, okay, you can come pray for me now. He thought, okay. So he walks in her room where she's at. And she saw him and she told him, now you can pray for me. I guess he'd never done that before. He had to take her back to the church so he'd have a little security. Took her back to the church and God healed her. She's got up out of that wheelchair and walked around there. God healed her. Totally healed her.
They both got delivered.
Now here's the point. God could have healed her.
That's right.
But he didn't choose to. He chose to use somebody. You the somebodies. See, he has chosen to use you and me to do what needs to be done. There's times we don't need to call him. He said to the disciples he chose out. He said what? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils, freely you receive, freely give. He said, you do it.
That's right.
Say, I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it.
You're the body of Christ and members one of another. He didn't say I'd come do it. He said, you go do it.
Amen.
It reminds me of Moses was standing there on the Red Sea. And he said, God, what am I going to do? And he said, what's in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, use it. See, we've been given authority to use it. God said, use it. And see, that's the way it is today. Jesus is sitting down. He's already given us all authority and power wherever we're going to need. And that spirit of unbelief and that spirit of familiar spirit and doubt and all that deception, those things have got to go. Those are the things that's keeping us from the fullness of God that he's given us. Those are the things that's keeping us from seeing everything he's given us. I mean, I remember David Alsobrook. Years, y'all remember when he was here and God had showed them there's a whole warehouse full of new body parts. And a lot of people were getting new body parts. Well, when I heard that in this book, it just confirmed. I think I even mentioned it a week or so. That God's got new knees. He's got new shoulders. He's got new things for you. Because if any man's in Christ, he's a what? New creation. You know, he can heal some of these. But some of them may need exchanging. If they need exchanging, let's just get a new one.
That's right.
And they don't necessarily have to be still, do they?
No.
They can be new. I remember the time when David was here, I watched this. Gold teeth was being, all these fillings was being filled up with gold. I watched a little kid that was in the foster home. I was standing right over there. And I watched this tooth, and I had a light while it was being filled. I watched the gold start coming over this tooth. And it just puddled around the bottom of that tooth.
Amen.
And just set up.
Amen.
I like to fail on the floor. Why is he giving us gold? Just to prove it. But he can give us new teeth.
Yeah.
You don't have to have gold teeth. We can have new teeth. I believe there's gold's fine.
Yeah.
You know, he can give us gold too. But there's no, we don't want to limit the Holy One. And that's why I'm talking about unbelief. We can't afford unbelief. This is no place for unbelief. Because we, if you're going to enter into the exchange life, the first fruit of it is peace.
Yeah.
And rest. And that word rest means to repose. It doesn't mean just to get in the recliner and do nothing. It means you get in the recliner and do a lot.
Yeah.
You work from a position of the recliner. You just resist that thing. Steadfast. Amen. He's the head of all principalities. He made a show of them, openly triumphing over them. And we are more than conquerors. What is more than a conqueror? It's in somebody's already conquered. And you get the benefits of the more than a conqueror. Amen. That's what more than a conqueror is. It's more than a conqueror. That's where he said, all power is given to me. And he said, what does he tell us to do? Now think about it. He says, as my Father sent me, so send I you. Okay. Whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. And he said, receive the Holy Ghost. Now, go do that. Whosoever sins you remit, are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. That's the authority he's given to the church. Amen. Now, why did he come? For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. But the verse before that says, he that sinneth is of the devil. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. So all sin comes from who?
The devil.
I got a little book. We was reading John G. Lake, and he just mentioned this word, and we ordered a book. The book is called Sinless, Sickless, Deathless. That's the exchange line. And I got to looking in it, and he says, he said, a Christian has no more right to be called sick than he does to be called a sinner. You wouldn't let nobody call you sick or a sinner because Jesus paid for all of it. It's just a matter of that veil. We've been programmed so long. So we'll get on that later. But here's the thing. Jesus said that the source of sin is the devil, right? Jesus said the source of sickness is the devil. Ought not this woman, who Jesus said has been bound by Satan, lo, these 18 years be loosed on the Sabbath? Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil. All sickness and disease comes from the devil. Death, once again, comes from the devil. Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of death and hell.
Amen.
The last enemy, death, has already been destroyed.
Right.
Not going to be. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Why? Because he has the keys of death. Satan does not have the keys of death. Death has no more dominion over you. Does that mean you'll never die? Well, this body will be exchanged in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I'll guarantee you. But Jesus has conquered death. So I look at the title of that book, Sinless, Sickless, Deathless. The guy was born in 1913 that wrote this book. That's when the book was published.
Yeah.
Oh, my. It's even older than I thought. It's outstanding. So, see, we're just moving into those realms where we need to see sickness is of the devil.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean, I was telling Ken, I know I got to be careful here, because there's no condemnation to those that are into Christ Jesus. But most of us are battling issues that the enemy has caused us to get a handle and receive a little of, that we got no business receiving it. I don't like, and see, and I've said this issue I've got, this doctor has, well, you got this. And I just, in my mind, said, no, I don't have this. I'm battling symptoms, but I don't have this. And I'm not going to receive this. See, why? Because Jesus took all of that on him. God made him sick. Isaiah 53:11. That word that he made Christ sick so we could be made whole. And I'm expecting to us to walk in divine health. And we're going to get the new body parts. We're going to get out. And we're going to come against all this stuff Sunday night.
Thank you, Father.
And I just got three more pages that I didn't even get to. Because most of this was not in my notes. Okay, well, we got a Gideon speaker, the first part, for 10 minutes, so
right.
We might just scare him to death while he's here. All right. But see, I want y'all to be tuned in with me. One can put 1,000 to flight, but what? Two can put 10,000. So how many demons are we going to have flying out the doors?
Yeah,
a bunch. Because we're all going to resist him steadfast. Amen? Twofold, threefold cord is not easily broken. Amen. We're going to have a thick rope. Amen. So, amen. That's enough for today.
You know, Norman, if they're going to talk, you might as well give them something to talk about and don't let it be gossip. Let it be the truth.
I usually do. Yes. I don't back up much. No.
Amen. Are you going to pray for us for unbelief? Go ahead.
Well, I have, but I'm going to do it again. Okay. And we got to do a blessing. Just stand up and I'll do both. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just come and I thank you right now. And once more, we bind that familiar spirit in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We command that thing to go in Jesus' name. Every familiar spirit, we break your power and we command you to go in Jesus' name. We command this old evil heart of unbelief to go.
Yes.
That evil heart of unbelief, we dislodge you in the name of Jesus. We have a new heart and a new spirit. And we command that evil heart of unbelief to go. Bind that spirit of unbelief in Jesus' name and command all unbelief to go now. Doubt in the name of Jesus. Doubt to go now in Jesus' name. All doubt and unbelief, you got to go in Jesus' name. Out of here, doubt and unbelief, you got to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of deception, every spirit of deception, we bind you in Jesus' name and command all that lying deception to go in Jesus' name. It's got to go in Jesus' name. We're not having you in Jesus' name. We resist you steadfast in the faith.